you a quarter, man, I'm headed to the fifth. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. If the team gon' get devoured, it's the power, 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 power. LSU a quarter, it's the power, power, power. LSU a quarter.
LSU loses to Texas. Are you kidding me? I'm going to be honest. I'm looking at each and every one of you right now. I am perfectly fine that we lost this game tonight. In fact, you could make a strong case that this was the best case scenario outside of course, Anissa Morrow getting hurt. She is built different than each and every one of us. I think she will be ready for March Madness. She was on the end of the bench after the big injury. So testing out a new microphone tonight, type Y for yes, type N for no, if you can hear me loud and clear. If I were a neutral college basketball fan and I were to watch that game and I saw that the number one rated team in college basketball was the Texas Longhorns and we did not have our big three for a majority of that third quarter, I would be very concerned if I'm a Texas fan that they did not blow us off the court, right? Because a big thing with LSU this season has been the lack of an elite number four and number five option. So I got to be honest, if we would have won this game tonight, would you have wanted Anissa Morrow to play tomorrow? Probably not. If she was already hurt coming into the game, she actually really does get hurt during the game. Y'all, if we would have won this game, we would have gone into the South Carolina game tomorrow with dead legs and really no shot of winning that game. They probably would have blown our doors off with no Flaje Johnson. So I am perfectly fine with us losing. And I know that doesn't sound right. I know that's something you should never say. And I also know that that's something that not a lot of you like to hear. But that was the best case scenario, us losing that game. We've already won an Natty. Nobody gives a damn if we win or lose the SEC tournament. Now, I understand the NCAA tournament doesn't just start here in about 4 or 5 days. It'll get an elongated break. But with tired legs, I just don't want our team playing another game where we would have gotten our doors blown off. South Carolina would have destroyed us. So I am perfectly fine with us getting back to full health. We just needed to win at least one of these games. We took care of business last night versus the Florida Gators, and it was a lot of fun watching us play ball the way that we played ball yesterday. We moved the basketball around well. We got some good minutes from some players that hadn't played a whole lot up to this point in the season. And I felt over this two-game period, you factor in that the Texas game was as close as it was, and you also factor in that we blew the doors off a somewhat decent Florida Gator team, I've got to be real. I think Bob Starkey did a really good job. I did. So we'll talk about some of the role players, but the bottom line, the big story, and none of what we saw matters if Anissa Morrow is indeed seriously hurt. If she's seriously hurt, the ceiling of this team is probably an Elite Eight. If she is fully healthy, we could potentially make a run to the Final Four. So we'll see what happens there. Now, as far as this game is concerned, this was an absolutely positively brutal, brutal, brutal watch. There's just no other way around it. Look, I can't sit here and tell you that was the most visually pleasing game that you'll ever watch. It was a clunker. And that's okay. I'm fine with playing these kinds of games, right? When you're playing day after day after day in the SEC tournament, which is something you rarely do, you're going to have tired legs, right? Women's basketball teams tend to not be as deep as men's basketball teams. But whatever the case may be, LSU didn't make their free throws. Remember a few weeks ago when we gave up that huge lead to Texas, they made all their free throws. The same thing basically happened tonight. We were terrible from the free throw line. And as John Sibley astutely points out, We also were bad at making layups. All right. So if you go 9 of 17 from the free throw line and the other team goes 17 of 20, that is a huge, huge 8 free throw discrepancy. Obviously, if LSU makes those 8 free throws, they in theory win the game. And then also the layups were absolutely brutal for LSU. One big sequence in the game happened in the first half where Del Rosario had as open of a layup you will ever see. She misses it and it goes the opposite direction and she gets beat down the floor and it's a walk-in layup for Oldacre, one of the role players for Texas. So, you know, that was huge. Free throws and layups. So I'll be honest, I would be far more concerned if I were a Texas fan than if I were an LSU fan. Because we didn't have Flauge Johnson. If you have Flauge Johnson, you probably win this game tonight. And obviously the biggest difference from the game in Austin a few weeks ago and the game tonight is that Booker, the superstar, the best player in the SEC this year, she was phenomenal. 10 and 19 from the field, 25 points. She was just nothing short of incredible. As far as everybody else on the team, I thought Samaya Smith did some good things. Miracle Shepherd was very aggressive in this game, 8 points, 3-7 from the field. Last year, Poa, I thought was also very aggressive. She only scored 3 points tonight. I've been very critical of Poa lately. I actually think this was some of her better ball that she played tonight. And the turnovers weren't as bad tonight. She only had 2 of them. And Mora, of course, was fantastic before she did indeed get hurt. This was not a great Michaela Williams game, but when Moro's out and you get into foul trouble and there's no Flauge and you're going up against a really good defensive coach and Vic Schaefer, you're going to have a tough night, okay? You're going to have a tough night, all right? So, look, I you guys know I will be critical of this team. I'm not just saying this just to say it. I am happy with how things went tonight. Would I prefer to win? Honestly, I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. I really do think because, look, let's just say we were to win tonight. More than likely, Anissa Morrow, knowing the competitor that she is, she was going to tough it out tomorrow. I wouldn't have wanted that. Okay. I don't think any of you would have wanted that. I know for damn sure I wouldn't have wanted to see Morrow tough it out in a game that in the grand scheme doesn't mean anything. Now, if we would have beaten South Carolina tomorrow, it would have been significant in that Kim finally would have beaten Dawn Staley. But I think a lot of us know what was going to happen tomorrow, especially with South Carolina having a rest advantage and them playing earlier in the day. That's huge. Okay. Absolutely huge. All right. Let's go to Chance here. But first, big dog. I mean, yeah. I mean, look, the bottom line, you can't miss as many layups as we did. All right. Especially if they are point blank. All right. So Maya Smith missed one tonight that was critical. We talked about the Del Rosario one a minute ago. And then also, you know, I really, and I understand I'm a big Bob Starkey guy. I really was impressed with him. I really, really, really was. I think one thing he did a good job of in the Florida game, and I tweeted about it earlier today, we need to do a better job of timing our timeouts. And I think he called a timeout perfectly versus Florida. They had hit a layup to make it 26-21. And then after that timeout, it stopped that Florida momentum, and then we ended up blowing them out after that in the first half. So that's one thing I think Bob Starkey did a good job of. But, of course, you know, Kim will go back to the main chair for the tournament, which is what you want. You want the lady who's won Natty's to be in the main chair. But we are very fortunate to have Bob Starkey on our staff. Okay? So there we go. I was going to get to this a little bit later. Some Louisiana bias might be creeping in here. But Jada Richard, I mean, my goodness gracious. I just like the fact that she wasn't afraid to go out there and just play. you know, freshmen could be bashful, especially ones that haven't had the opportunity to play a whole lot. But damn, I was impressed with the limited sample size that we saw tonight. We'll get to her stats in a minute, but the Cliff Notes, if you're just joining us, we just had a wave of people. The game, you cannot miss as many free throws and layups as we did and beat the number one team in the country. You cannot lose two of your three best players, basically one for the entire game in Flage, and then one midway through the third, and then by far your other best player gets in fourth foul trouble midway through the third quarter. But the fact that it was close says a lot about this LSU team, all right? So there you go. Now, a little bit later, we will talk some LSU baseball. Big shout out to Bear Jones. I was shocked. I want to say this one thing about Bear Jones. All right, this is why I got to be a part of the PHL Discord and Patreon. We shot a little promo for our Ja'Marr Chase jersey giveaway at the end of April. Look, I'll be honest. I couldn't believe what I saw in the Discord chat. So I don't watch every pitch of every baseball game, right? I try to mostly focus in on football, spring football. You know, it was good to see that get underway. We'll talk about that later. But there is a Discord discussion about the greatness of Bear Jones. Someone who I will not name said he's not as big of a Bear Jones fan. I was like, really? Bear freaking Jones? We'll talk a little bit about that discussion later. Let's see. Let's go to Chance's comment. Chance's a day one. He's also a Saints fan. Shout out to Derek Carr. It is official. He will be your quarterback next year. Del Rosario and Jersey are liabilities on the court more often than not. Both have bad hands. He's right. He's not only right, it's a huge problem on multiple fronts, all right? So let's take someone like Sabaya Smith, for instance. She should never be in a spot where she is playing 30-plus minutes, all right? So tonight she only played 24. But because Del Rosario and Wolfenbarger have not been as good as we thought they were going to be, well, guess what? You've got to play Sumaya Smith that many more minutes. And that's hard. That is really, really, really hard. Because Sumaya Smith is not that type of player. She is a good role player. But when you're having to play her as many minutes as you've had to play her this year, it stretches her out, especially a year after she had a very serious injury. So if that's the case, why could we not have seen one of those two players develop into that other post player? Del Rosario just cannot play right now. I don't know what happened. It's really hard to explain because last year she was very good for LSU, especially as a true freshman. And then Jersey was a very coveted transfer. You take it from another SEC school, man. It is a liability. Obviously, Jersey is better than Del Rosario, but man, it was tough. It was really, really, really tough. Okay. Let's go to Leo. Kim has beaten Don Staley, just not at LSU. Okay. Sure. I mean, yes, but you got what I was saying earlier. All right. The point guard play was atrocious. Yeah, it wasn't great. Look, we can get into a whole debate about this. Look, when it comes to our 2, 3, and 4 play, and this is an oversimplification of LSU women's basketball over the past couple of seasons. When it comes to the 2, 3, and 4, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, we have arguably been the best in college basketball over the past couple of seasons, right? We had Angel Reese, who is a five in a way, but more so a four. And then, of course, you've had Flage, you've had Michaela, you've had Morrow, who is one of the best LSU players of all time at this point, one of the best women's basketball players of all time, knowing that she has a double-double record. But we have really struggled in developing the one and the five, or better yet, the primary ball handler and the secondary post player, all right? It has been a problem. It has been a major problem. And part of that is by using something called the transitive property, okay? I don't think I'm using transitive property here correctly, but hear me out. For those that didn't see this, but Haley Van Lith won the Big 12 Player of the Year. She was phenomenal for TCU. She was not that last year for LSU. Now, she had a few 20-plus point games. She had one on the road versus Tennessee. That was phenomenal. She wasn't just downright bad, but she was the best player in the entire Big 12 conference. The best player. The only thing that changed was the teams. You know, she was a gold medalist for Team USA, superstar for Louisville. So there's something that we are doing that's not giving us enough point guard development. And obviously, there is something we are not doing when it comes to developing a secondary post player. Okay? So, you know, that's a weakness. And it's okay to say that. I still think, though, Kim has done a good job with this team. All right? Did we lose three of our final four games? Yes, we did. Yes, we did. But one of those was a road game versus Alabama. The last three games, we did not have Flage. And we're playing very good teams. Ole Miss was hungrier than us. They had a comeback victory. Obviously, the road game versus Alabama was close in overtime, and tonight was close. All right? So I don't think the sky is falling, but I also don't think this team, this iteration of this team, is good enough to win a national championship. Unless, okay, it would take an all-time sun run from Flage. That is the only way that that would happen. And I think even if that were to happen, it would be tough. Now, there is one big benefit, one very, very, very small thing that is trending in LSU's direction when it comes to women's basketball. And we'll discuss that right after this break. And then on top of that, we'll dive a little bit deeper into LSU baseball.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles. And my personal favorites, oh yeah,
the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy. We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new sign-up gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we gotta save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
Maybe, okay, maybe there's not a really elite team in women's basketball this year. You know, many would say UCLA is the best team. They were number one for a good bit. They have Lauren Betts, the best post player in college basketball. But if we were to face off against UCLA, all the pressure would be on them, right? Because it's their year. We beat them last year in the tournament. You know, as much as I say, hey, I don't think we're good enough to win an Natty, maybe there's just not an elite, elite team. You know, if Texas is the number one team, if they are the number one team, why couldn't they blow us out tonight? Seriously. Why couldn't they have blown us out tonight? Now, that is just insane to me. So, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, UConn's had their issues. South Carolina looks like they're starting to play at their level again. Maybe we're overthinking this. Maybe Kim... If Kim were to win the Natty with this team, she's like beyond goated at this point. All right. Now, I want to chat something about LSU baseball. All right. Bear Jones is the real deal. I mean, when I watch him bat, it feels like I am watching Brad Cressy at the plate. All right. Now, obviously, he's not that level of a player. Make a case. Brad Cressy is the best, I will just say he's the best catcher to ever play at LSU. But goodness gracious, LSU baseball. I'll put the scores up for each and every one of you to see. What a freaking stretch they are on. 7 innings only played today. You went 13-2. 7 innings only played earlier this week versus North Dakota State. You went 13-3. Comeback victory versus North Dakota State. You went 11-9. And then you get the doubleheader, 6-2. Get it done today. So, look, I am of the belief that LSU baseball has what it takes to go all the way this year. They really do. If the arms can stay healthy, I like what Stanfield's done in the outfield. That catch he made was in-freaking credible. But I try my best not to dive too deep into baseball or softball until the SEC play gets going because, you know, the pressure is just so much more and you get better environments. You're on the road. The injuries begin to pile up. So I really do think, though, just using the eye test, and LSU baseball experts, feel free to correct me in the comment section. I'm looking at each and every one of you. Is this team Omaha bound? I just want to know. That's it. I just want to know. Is this team good enough to go all the way? We know we got a good enough coach. We know we got a good enough middle infield. Didi up the middle. Daniel Dickinson. That dude is a baller. So really excited about them. Also really excited about LSU softball. Once again, if there are 100 Beth Arena fans in existence, I am one of them. If there's a million Beth Arena fans in existence, I am one of them. But if there's only one Beth Arena fan out there, it's me. It's me. It's a take that I'll go to the grave saying, I don't care that we lost in all these postseasons and so on and so on. She's still an elite coach. All right. So, Bet Tarina, shout out to you. All right. Now, you guys know, I love me some LSU basketball. Obviously, I love the women's more than I love the men now. I love LSU men's basketball as much as I love women's basketball. It may not seem like it, but that is the case. All right. And we're going to get to all your comments here in a second. The thing that got me the angriest today with LSU men's basketball was the fact that we went on a 17-0 run. All right, we're playing Texas A&M. Texas A&M is really freaking good this year. Now, they're not a top five SEC team, but that's really hard to be this year. They are definitely, though, one of the 16 best teams in college basketball this year. Okay? And we went on a 17-0 run versus this team. Like, they are no slouches. That's an experienced team. Wade Taylor is one of the best SEC point guards you will see. But why would a 17-0 run get me angry? Well, it's what the Will Wade era has been. All right, now, I will defer to someone like Hal, who is a season ticket holder and goes to the games. But the sign of a team that is not well coached is a team that goes on these fluctuating runs. That means that your games are played with no rhyme or reason. There's no control over the game. So, in the first half, they jump out to a big lead. You go on this 17-0 run. And then somehow you lose 66-52. How does that happen? But there has been so many instances of this happening during the during this era. All right, and it just sounds like I'm piling up on Matt McMahon. I guarantee you, I am not doing that. But we were winning at halftime 32-30. We should not be getting blown out. I'm sorry, we should not ever be getting blown out. And we did a Patreon episode on this not too long ago. And like we said from the get-go, we're giving out a Ja'Marr Chase autographed jersey at the end of April. All right. We did a Patreon podcast. There's a guy by the name of Evan Maya. He is an advanced analytic college basketball analysis guru. I know I didn't say that smoothly at all. But he charts 10-0 runs in college basketball. And basically, a 10-0 run is you score 10 points in a row, and they don't score at all. So how many 10-plus point runs do you go on? The team in the SEC that is the most volatile at 10-point runs when you adjust for opponent is LSU. And normally, teams that have very volatile 10-point runs, especially towards the negative, but sometimes to the positive, those are the teams that aren't really that good. So I will always support Matt McMahon. You know one thing I can say? We're not in trouble. We're not in any trouble. But we're also not good. And look, I'm not into sports to be choir boys. I'm into sports to win. Now, I'm not of the ilk that you should do whatever it takes to win. That's not what I'm going to say at all. But we don't have a whole lot of bite, and we're just not really that good of a team. We're just not. So it's just going to be tough for me to be excited next year with another year of the Matt McMahon era. It's going to be tough. Now, if he's given a deeper NIL bag to work with and we get, you know, some big-time bona fide players, sure, that's going to make us better. And many of you have pointed out the lack of talent and Reed's injury earlier this year, all those different things. But we live in a very, very busy society. You know, I'm very fortunate to get to work in sports, but especially in the football offseason, I like to go out and do other things. I like to go on trips like many of you. I say all of that because I think in this day and age, it is more important not only to win, but if you're not winning, but you play an entertaining, fun style of basketball, you can deal with it. We do neither. All right? Now, I do get two pushback comments. Once again, if it is in your heart's desire, if you want your question to be answered, it can be about any sport. Feel free to super chat. We go to Sibley. This is the best SEC basketball overall I have ever seen. I would agree with you. I mean, look, that game earlier today between Auburn and Alabama was so good. It went into overtime. Sears hit the floater at the buzzer to win. It was so good. I think the top of college basketball this year is very good. The bubble is weak this year on college basketball. It is what it is. But the top half, and a lot of those teams in the top half, are SEC teams. But, you know, North Carolina has a down year. Nova's having a down year. A lot of the elite programs that we're accustomed to being very good are just not that good this year. Let's go to Hal. Once again, he's got actual equity as a season ticket holder. Carter, this offseason, he's got to get his NIL up, and he's got to go spend in the portal. Yeah. I mean, I'm not too privy to the college basketball transfer portal. So we'll see. We'll see. I just don't know if it's going to matter, though. I just don't know. I just obviously Auburn's going to have a big fall off with all that they're losing, but I don't know. I mean, Bruce Pearl's just that guy. I mean, he's what, a top? Would you say Bruce Pearl's a top five coach in the sport? I mean, I would say so at this point. It is interesting as well. I saw this stat that there was not a single ACC versus ACC ranked game this year. So the ACC is down. Big Ten, Illinois is good. Obviously, Michigan State's good. You need the usual suspects there. Ohio State's a bubble team. Maryland's good. But the SEC is where it's at this year. I do think the NCAA men's tournament is going to be very good. It does not need to expand, though. Even though, like college football, NCAA basketball tournament expansion really helps LSU out in a major, major, major way. But I don't want it. I really, really, really don't. All right. So there you go. Now, we could talk some spring football, but once again, you know, I want to keep it mostly current LSU. And then when we actually get to watch practice footage and all that, we can dive a little bit deeper. But, you know, women's basketball is where 75 to 80% of my LSU heart lies. Okay? Now, a few more things that I saved for later as far as women's basketball is concerned. Please, please, can we just practice layups and free throws? There have been so many games this year where LSU has just missed the bunnies. And part of why I think that's an issue, because we have three phenomenal players, it's also important to point out how they actually score. You know, Rebecca Lobo included this in her analysis. And by the way, this is coming from someone that actually does women's college basketball play-by-play. Ryan Rucco and Rebecca Lobo might be the best broadcasting duo, period, in all of basketball. I'm serious. They're that damn good. I've met both of them once, and I've met Holly Rowe before. They are so damn good. They should win all the Emmys. They're ego-free. They flow so well with the game. They are so good. Rebecca Lobo made an interesting point. All right, and for those that don't know, if you're older, if you're like Sibley and Hal, you remember Rebecca Lobo. Her and Lisa Leslie were like the studs of all women's basketball. I mean, they were so freaking good. She said that a lot of the shots we make are difficult shots. She kind of made that comment for both LSU and Texas. And she's right. Like, if you ever actually sat down and watched Flage and Michaela, it's not normal what they do. Like, it is not normal to hit and make some of the plays that they're able to make. There might be, what, 40 players in the entire sport that can make half as many difficult shots as they do. And obviously Morrow is 6'1", so she's not someone that just towers over people. And she's the all-time leader in double-doubles. She just outworks people, and she has just more power and athleticism. And a really good touch around the rim. So the reason why I bring that up is because if those three players are making such difficult shots, we need our other players to just make their basic layups, make their basic 12-footers. And that's part of the reason why I like Jada Richard there at the end. She wasn't afraid to get off and take some tough shots. All right? And that's one thing Christopher points out. You know, when we played Texas a few weeks ago, and we mentioned this briefly earlier, but they played terrible, but they made all their free throws, and tonight they only missed three. And oftentimes that's what decides tournaments because everybody's tired. You're playing so many games in short periods of time. Let's take one of the weaker tournament champions, especially of the modern era, is the UConn Huskies, that Shabazz Napier team, where they almost got beat in the first round of the tournament. They ended up winning the whole damn thing. All right. They shot that entire tournament 90% from the free throw line. 90% as a team over a 6-game sample. Close wins, high leverage free throws, 90%. That's why they won it all. If you go look, it is so hard to win these tournaments if you don't make your free throws. It's really, really, really hard. We didn't do that. Okay. It's a good point, Christopher. Let's go to Bob. Once again, was Texas better tonight? Yes, they were. But Bob, I know you're a Texas fan. You're in the Texas chat we did a few weeks ago. I would be very concerned if I was a Texas fan watching that tonight. Like, this wasn't anything new. Someone that I know that plays a role in LSU's NIL efforts texted me during the game and said, hey, how are we in this game? And if your opinion isn't, man, how did Texas not blow us out? Then you've not really watched LSU this year. It's crazy. It's crazy. So give Coach Starkey, Mulkey, and the staff a lot of credit. I know there's no moral victories, but I think Texas is going to get absolutely shellacked tomorrow. I think they're going to get absolutely shellacked. It's going to be interesting. I might actually go bet South Carolina afterwards. And Don Staley has done your boys some good in the NCAA tournament. One of the biggest wagers I've ever played was South Carolina versus Iowa last year. I'm telling you, Don Staley in these big games, she is so freaking cash. Okay. Hakeem says we need a post presence. Yeah. Well, especially if Morrow's out. If Morrow's out, we're cooked. We're cooked. Okay. Deep fried, sauteed, whatever you want to call it. So there you go. Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, we're going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. Feel free to super chat if you want to keep it going. Go to Luke. If HVL didn't transfer, it would have been her team this year. That's not true. It's not true. You know, we touched on this a little bit earlier. Would our team be better with her on it than not on it? Yeah, absolutely. You know, she was a Big 12 player of the year. But it would have been different because there's only one ball, and Flage and Michaela are as good as they are. So I don't know. I don't think it was ever going to be like the most perfect fit. I'll also be honest. I've not really watched TCU this year. I am not a Horned Frogs expert. That is not me. Now, I want to talk some football. We are an LSU football channel, first and foremost. And look, the story is still Kyle Williams. And I released a Patreon podcast on Kyle Williams. And I don't really worry about his lack of experience. I would be a lot more worried if he was an offensive line coach or a quarterback's coach with a lack of experience, or a defensive backs coach even, with a lack of experience. But Kyle Williams is going to be fine. Do defensive line coaches matter? They do. But I also don't think it is as important to have continuity at the defensive line coach than it is at other positions. So, you know, I'm not saying defensive line is easier. I myself was a defensive lineman. It's just not as complex. In fact, if you were to break down the complexities of each position group, defensive line is probably the simplest. And you have not only a defensive tackles coach, you also have a defensive ends coach. So I do think LSU on both lines, you'll have a tight ends coach that'll work a lot with the offensive line, Alex Atkins, the run game coordinator, and the offensive line slash OC coach from Florida State comes over. And then obviously Kevin Peoples with his actual Power Four coaching experience is going to help out Kyle Williams quite a bit. All right. So now that I've slept on it, released a public episode and a private episode of Kyle Williams, it's just not something that has worried me, his lack of experience. Now, the one thing that would worry me is there is patience required to do this. I would argue that patience in doing the tedious things is a lot harder to do at the collegiate level than it is at the high school level or at the NFL level because of recruiting and all the little extra mumbo jumbo that comes along with it. All right. So I think it's going to be fine. I really do think so. Now, as far as some other spring storylines, you know, there's just so many key players that are not playing in the spring at all. Two of your starters on defense, Weeks, and obviously Perk will not be available. So that stings. But it's not the end of the world. The best linebacker on LSU's team was a healthy scratch from spring practice a few years ago for academic reasons. That was Micah Baskerville. And what happened? Well, Micah Baskerville, for multiple seasons, was our best linebacker. And he was only a special teamer prior. Okay? So say what you want about Micah Baskerville. He didn't practice during one spring. So I'm fine with that. And there's also, does LSU approach spring football any different? Because, well, a lot of teams throughout college football are kind of anti-springing spring football in that they're not caring as much about it. Okay. You would like me to come on OTF with Bobby Burton. I do not know Bobby Burton. I don't. But I'm guessing, Bob, since you're a Texas fan, OTF is a Texas show. So I would love to go on a Texas show. As a film guy, Steve Sarkisian's probably my favorite offense to watch in the SEC. It is a very fun offense. Jaden Blue and Gunnar Helm made a lot of money thanks to Steve Sarkisian, because I don't think either of them are really that good of an NFL prospect, but they're on boards because, well, Steve Sarkisian is a tight end and running back's best friend with all the screens and wheels and leaks that he calls for those players in particular. So, yeah, I would love to jump on a Texas show. You let them know. I'll talk just Longhorns. Don't fucking touch me. And I accidentally opened up my phone. My fat finger accidentally touched a comedian's notifications. So you just got an F-bomb on PHL. Shout out to you, Jason Channing, for demonetizing me. But yeah, Jason Channing, very funny comic. Really good friend of mine. Yeah, they're a big Sibley. Sibley, I'm mad I didn't get an invite. Sibley sent me a video of him having a band perform live on his patio. Let him know, Bob. Let him know. I'd love to do it. I don't have 60,000 people in here right now. Now, during football season, it's a little bit different, but right now, we only got 20 on YouTube. Interesting. It's because the host sucks. That's why. It's also 9 p.m. on a Saturday. So, there you go. That'll do it for me. Really, really, really proud of this team. I really am. And I'm not just saying that just to say it. I think that the fact that we were this competitive tonight shows that this team is going to have some fight when it really matters the most. So we'll see how the cards fall. what's his name? Bobby Cream is the college basketball expert that does the brackets. I think we'll at worst be a 3 seed. But we'll get to host first round NCAA tournament games, which is ultimately what you want. Okay? No real news other than Kyle Williams. Okay? Nothing really crazy. So, we should be live tomorrow night. And that'll be at around 6 p.m. So, be on the lookout for that. We might go a little bit later. I didn't check to see what time the selection show or when the selection show is. So, let me... Selection show. Oh, it's late. Okay, no. It's early. It's at 7 p.m. Central. So we'll go live after that, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight we are doing steaks. Let's go. Let's go.